All right, friends, before we dive into today's episode, here's what your angels need you to know. There are a lot of people who have been feeling, I would say, December and January, this very, very heavy energy, a stuckness, a heavy energy in the heart chakra, just feeling a weight of the world on their shoulders. And it's kind of clouding a lot of people's intuitions. So what the angel said to do is to put up the oneness course. If you want to go through the oneness course live with me, you can register over at theangelmedium.com. Go to courses. You'll see the oneness course. Sign up for that. What I'm also going to give you, we're going to go through live the first 3 weeks of March. I'm going to do a new meditation with you every day in order to bring you into oneness. As soon as you sign up and register for this course, there's coursework for you to begin diving into. And then again, you've got those 3 weeks of lives with me. Friends, if you're an annual or VIP member, this is included in your membership. We've also got a new class of the Angel Reiki School starting March 1st. And friends, your angels just want you to know if you're feeling called, this is for you. Friends, your angels love you so incredibly much. They've got so many messages for you. Here is the episode for today. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to the Angels and Awakening podcast. I'm your host and author, Julie Jancis. Friends, today we have on the show Michelle Brock. And Michelle and I have mutual friends. Somebody messaged me and they're like, you should have Michelle on the show. She would be perfect. She's coming out with this new book about past lives. And I went over to her page, looked at it, and saw that we have a lot of the same friends. And when I say same friends, what I mean is I try and keep this podcast space where it doesn't go down like a woo-woo crazy town. We don't bring any of the people in who have cults or different thing. You know, we're kind of keeping it down like the straight and narrow, right? And when it gets into past lives, I just really was waiting for spirit to bring me a person who was that. And here's Michelle. She's got these two beautiful teenagers and just like mom, like I am, just doing her thing. And I love the way that she presents this information. So Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
Yay! You are coming out with your new book. By the time that this comes out, it'll be out. It's called Who Do You Think You Are? And it's all like an intro to really start understanding your past lives. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, it comes out January 30th. It's called Who Do You Think You Are? An Interactive Journey Through Your Past Lives and Into Your Best Future. And I wrote the book because I really wanted people to have a chance to experience their own past lives in order to kind of create a new identity for themselves, you know, about, you know, kind of who they actually think they are, right? You're a soul, not a body. Because sometimes we get so caught up in these kind of constructs of this life and our body. And then thinking about once you have that new identity for yourself, then you can also, you know, have that identity and the way that you relate to others. So there was a lot of kind of stuff about compassion and empathy and love and equality that I really want people to discover through this book.
Ooh, that's interesting. Okay. So with that compassion, that empathy, is that for ourselves? Is that for others as we really look back throughout our past lives? How does that tie in?
It's really for both. And I think that it starts with the self, right? Like that we really kind of have to look at our journey over many lifetimes and realize that we've been kind of all things, right? We've been all genders and gender expressions. We've been all races and ethnicities and religions. And so once you can kind of shatter the mirror, so to speak, on who you thought you were, then that naturally kind of is able to be something that you're able to apply to other people and even the entire planet and all of humanity. So I wrote the book actually because I was noticing so much divisiveness all over the world, but particularly in this country where we live in the United States. And I kept thinking, if everybody could see what I've seen over the last now 18 years that I've been doing past life work with my clients, really, we wouldn't have these reasons to be so divisive. We could disagree on things, right? But at the end of the day, you know, who we are is the same, which is a journey, a soul on a journey over many lifetimes. And that was my intention behind writing this book, was to really share that insight and information with everybody.
Okay. So this is so fun. This is so fascinating. I'm going to get in a while here into the reason why I was careful about who I brought on the podcast. But what the angels show me is that we've actually lived many different lives, even within this one lifetime that we're in right now. Because when I think about my 42-year-old self right here, right now, she's a very different person from who I was even 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I think about the little version of me living in Vermont when I was very young, watching MTV when it was like very first on the television set. Totally different versions of who I am. And there's some people who might be able to say, well, I can barely keep up with this lifetime. What's the point in going into those past lives? But it really, when you kind of, in business, we say zoom out and give yourself the 10,000 foot perspective, ties in your angel say to the purpose of your soul sometimes here and now. Not that we have to go open Pandora's box and see everything from the past, but you have lifetimes that very much you're not completing everything in that one. And so you're carrying over purpose, missions, different things that you're doing. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's really, really well said. And that's part of why I included that it's a journey through your past lives and into your best future. Because you're right, we can reincarnate anytime we like, right? You can have a past life in this life. And so the idea is that once you actually are able to form a new identity that does revolve around knowledge of having had past lives, and for some people that'll include specific details from their past lives. And for some people it'll just be like, okay, so I lived past lives. Now what? Who do you want to become based on that new identity? How do you want to change the future that you're creating, not just for yourself, but for all of us in humanity? And I think that your angels are exactly right, that we're constantly evolving, right? We're learning and we're growing over many, many lifetimes. So our past in this life, our childhood or any point in our past and our past lives, I actually see them as kind of one and the same. There's this continual arc that's guided us and led us into the person that we're becoming, right? Yeah. So that's really why I wanted to focus on having knowledge of your past lives in order to inform the present and then help you figure out what kind of future you want to create and who you want to become.
I want people who are listening right now or watching on YouTube to get a very clear visual of what you just said. And what Spirit's saying is, if you imagine yourself at 105 years old and you're looking back at your life and you have these memories of being a little four-year-old child and then in elementary school and then in college and getting married and having babies and successes in your career, and you're looking back over all of these milestones, you have to kind of hop into the energy of your highest self and tune into, okay, but from the perspective of your highest self, where there is no time, you can be at the end of all of your lifetimes looking back at all of the different beautiful lifetimes that you've lived.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful kind of visual representation of it. And, you know, one of the things that I include in the book are a lot of different kind of journaling exercises and creative exercises, you know, things to kind of prime your unconscious mind to start thinking about allowing past lives to be in your kind of purview, right? So there's one exercise that I include that's about kind of writing your soul's autobiography, right? Like all of the stories of where you've been, right? We have so many interesting stories and, you know, people are fascinating in general, you know, just in this life. But then if we open the curtains wider and think about all the things that you've seen or witnessed throughout history, all of the different foods you've tasted and moments in history that you've actually witnessed firsthand, right? Mm-hmm. So when you start to actually see that, and my favorite analogy is really about just taking, you have a big picture window and the curtains are, you know, only allowing this much in. And this book allows you to just kind of burst those curtains open wide and be like, wow, my existence is so much broader and more rich and expansive than I ever thought. So yeah, that's, yeah. I love your analogy. It's really beautiful.
Thank you. Okay. So this is the point that I want to get to, because I'm going to explain it like this. There's so much, if you're a person who's on Instagram or social media in some way, so much about trauma work, right? We got to do our trauma work. We got to do our inner child work. We want to go through this. And I find that as I walk clients through some of that work with Archangel Michael, they get stuck in this loop of just wanting to stay, I don't want to say it's like as the victim, but just like stay stuck in like the trauma piece and not come out of it. And there have been clients that come to me and they either say, Julie, you know, I went to this person, and not all healers are created equal. You can go and you can pay money and you can have a really, really bad reading. Or you could find a good quality person and have a fabulous reading. And I really believe in going to see people that are going to hold you in that safe space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's a couple different routes here. It can be Pandora's box, where some healers lead you in past lives to open it up and look at all of it, and people get stuck there. Some people go to a bad healer. They hear one negative thing that happened in a past lifetime.
And they attach to it.
Oh, they attach to it. They stick to it. They don't want to let it go. And it becomes like a wound now in this lifetime.
And I think that you're right. I think that our story and our suffering, whether it's in this life or our past lives, can also become an identity, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I do in the book is, you know, the first section is about honoring the past. The second section is really about dealing with the present. So it's talking about, you're not your thoughts, you're not your beliefs, you're not your story, you're not your suffering, you're not the roles that you play and the relationships that you're in, right? So inviting people to kind of transcend and let go of these stories. And part of my approach as a life coach and a healer is really based on a lot of the kind of shamanic based studies that I've been in, where you don't bring anything up unless you're planning on releasing it, right? You got to let it go. You bring it up because it's in the unconscious. And the unconscious mind is incredibly powerful. It actually can rule your thoughts and your behavior. So once you actually make the unconscious conscious, I think that's a quote by the amazing Carl Jung, that it no longer controls your life, right? That's the premise behind the work that we do. So yes, if you are working with somebody who has you bring up things from the past, you know, you want to learn how to integrate it and then release it and let it go and not let it be your story anymore. And I think that you're right. I think that that can be really dangerous, that you can kind of over-identify with like, oh, this happened to me in a past life, you know, where for me, I want people to create a new identity that revolves more around being a soul and less about having these human experiences, which are fleeting. You know, we come and we have this experience in a body. It's a temporary kind of thing. And then we move on. So kind of having that approach and that viewpoint is what I do invite people to do. It is important to acknowledge trauma. It is, you know, because I think that when we don't acknowledge it, it kind of grows. And sometimes in our unconscious, it can end up impacting us in a bigger way than if we actually were to pull it up and identify it. But then we have to follow through with that and integrate it, process it, heal it, release it, so that we can keep the wisdom earned without having to carry that wound and that baggage. And one of the things that I talk about in the book is that, you know, if we've already been old and wise many, many times, Why can't we use that wisdom in our life today, right? You think about, like, if you have access to like an elder, like someone in your family who's like 90, 100 years old, listen to their stories, listen to like the wisdom they've worked hard to gain over this lifetime. We have that inner elder inside of us from all of our earned wisdom and experiences in this life. We just need to know how to get to it and tap into it. So that's one of the things that I invite people to do in the book.
I love that. And it makes so much sense. Real quick, friends, I wanted to let you know that Spirit has this project just weighing on my heart, calling to me, where I think that there is a way that we can reach tens of millions of people with just so much hope and so much love and so much positivity. And I need your help. So Spirit said, Julie, you don't know what you don't know. Put it out there on the podcast. You need people to help you with marketing, social media. I'm pulling together a marketing social media committee. And even if you want to come on that committee because you're willing to just pop on once a day, like and comment in order to help this message get to more people, we need you. If you're willing to be part of this marketing committee, will you email me, julie@theangelmedium.com, julie@theangelmedium.com. Put marketing committee in the title. March 1st, we're going to get everybody together who's emailed in, send you an email with a meeting link, and really get this committee moving. I love you so much, friends. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I cannot tell you how much it means to me and your support. You've always supported me when Spirit has these just wild ideas that they channel in, and they always take us to this beautiful place. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being you. And thank you for participating if this calls to you too. Now, back to the show. When you do have these different things, and we all have them, we all have flaws, we all have different things going on. I know that in college and high school, I was not an easy person to live with because I was like, you know, the dish fairy just comes in and cleans all of the dishes. So I just place my dirty dishes here and they magically get cleaned. And the way my roommates didn't do this to me, but my husband always tells a story about the guy in his household who did that in college. And he came in one day to all of the dishes being in on his bed, like all of his dirty dishes, like loads and loads. And once we understand something about ourselves, then when we're able to work through, process it, we're able to see how to be a better member of our household, contribute to our household.
Realize, say, you know what? I was aristocracy in a past life. So therefore, that's why my attitude is that someone else will come and do it. Whereas like in this life, I'm learning to be more self-sufficient, right? So it's kind of like, because insights into tendencies and patterns of behavior like that, I mean, my friends tease me. They say I put everything comes from a past life because this is what I do. But I imagine that that's probably part of your story, your past life story. If you're just like dishes, right? my son is 18 and I imagine he was probably aristocracy in a past life too, because he never cleans his own room. So
I just thought it was my own ADHD, but That's kind of fun to dream about.
You never know, right?
Yes. I love that. So with Chios Energy Healing, which I went through a very extensive program with, that there is a way, and it was created by a Berkeley professor, but he goes through a very specific way of how you can actually tune into feeling energy. And there's nothing in front of you, but when you do the work as he explains it, it feels different. I mean, you run your hands over the air right in front of you when you're working on somebody else talking about past lives. And for some people, it feels smooth like silk. And some people, it feels rough and rocky. And he said that is how you really tune into who has past life work to do and who doesn't. What is your process for tuning into who has past life work to do? and who's good.
My premise is that everybody has past life work to do, right? And maybe that smooth energy was from one of a lifetime that one, you know, people were blessed to have, you know, kind of a, I don't want to say easier, but like a smoother path, right? Because that happens. You know, really, that was how I got into this work, was really trying to understand why things were unfair, like why babies die and some people get to live to be 100, or why some people have enormous health challenges and others are blessed with vibrant health, right? So as far as my process, you know, what I'm doing is I'm having people tap into this energy that they're carrying with them from past lives that they're storing in their unconscious mind. And that actually forms, like I said, limiting belief systems, phobias, prejudices, right? Ideas that we have about something or someone that we don't have any basis for in this life. And the idea is that it's not necessarily the past life itself that's impacting you. It's the way that past life made you feel. It's the emotions that is the energy. And that's the stuff we bring with us into this life, right? The rocks in our pockets that clog our chakras, that, and I've never felt energy kinesthetically like that, but I actually can actually sense it or feel it, yeah, right? With clients myself when I'm kind of helping them bring that up. So the experience of a past life work can sometimes be visual. So, you know, a clairvoyant experience similar to a dream that seems to be really visual. Some people don't see it visually. They'll kind of sense it or feel it or know it. Like, yeah, I know I'm in Spain, or I know the year is 1850, right? Mm-hmm. And some people smell smells or feel something on their body, scratchy fabric. So it's actually fascinating how we do carry these energies with us, you know, from our previous lifetimes, and they're emotional in nature, but that they can actually manifest themselves in a variety of ways based on how we can actually perceive them. And I think that it's different for everyone. Some people might not have that feel ability, but they'll see it. I tell people see colors, right? In, yes, people's auras, or can actually sense ancestors. When I was a child, one of the things that used to happen to me before I knew I was an intuitive, I would actually sometimes see people's faces change, that they would look, their physical features would look different. And I believe, wow, that I was probably reading some of their past lives, right? Oh, and I, yeah, think that a lot of children have these abilities. And in this culture, we don't talk about this as openly, I think, as we should. And thanks, mm-hmm, to people like you with this podcast, you're changing that conversation, right? Like, let's normalize, you know, yes, spirits, spirit guides, angel presences, people reading auras. So, you know, I don't know if that answered your question, but the idea is that when we can release it energetically, we no longer have to carry it with us. So part of that is the emotional process of letting go of that feeling. A lot of people have these cathartic release moments when they're doing past life work, where it's just like sobbing and just like, I'm so sad that that happened to me, but I'm so relieved to, yeah, know the story so that I no longer have to carry it. I no longer have to be informed by that story.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that we have past lives. I see it all the time in sessions. But then also, to me, it's proven by the little children who come in and who are like, I lived at such and such an address and this is who I was. And then people go look it up and they're like, oh my God, who is my child? Because, yeah, that's exactly where that person lived and who that person was. As you were speaking, I got this very, very clear visual within my mind. Did you ever watch The Good Place, that TV show?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, it's so fun. We just turn it on sometimes at night as a family if we're playing board games because we know it so well. But there's this one character, Eleanor, and she was just not her best self in this lifetime that she had. And she goes to the other side and she gets to kind of remedy that. But in order to remedy it, she has to look back really truthfully at who she was here. And she goes through in the show what's kind of like millennia and gets to this place where she's just at peace with all of the different versions of herself. Mm-hmm. And so I think Spirit's just trying to communicate for anybody who's seen that show, there's such valuable work in there because all of who you are is important to your soul's journey.
I love that. And I'm going to definitely check out that show because that sounds like it's my gem. Exactly. But I think that that describes the way that I see the process, not only in my own life, as I've explored my own past lives over now many years, but watching clients do this as well. You know, I think one of the things that a lot of people fear is that they worry that they're going to find out they were a bad person in a past life. You know, it's like, well, of course you were, because we're learning, right? Like, you wouldn't look back, you know, when you're in grad school at something you did in kindergarten and be like, well, that was terrible math, or, you know, whatever, right? Like, it's kind of the same way that, you know, we reincarnate in physical form here on planet Earth in order to learn, to grow, to become better, more loving beings, right? And that is a more compassionate process than we think. I think a lot of people think of karma as being this like punishment, like you did something bad in a past life so that you're going to have a challenging life in this life. I have not found that to be true at all. Yeah. It's a much more compassionate process, and it's self-led too. So some people that we see having really challenging lifetimes, sometimes those are people that are way more evolved, that they chose to have that challenge in order to teach the people around them lessons about love, lessons about acceptance, right? Yeah. So it's not as black and white, like, you know, you did something bad, therefore something bad's going to happen to you. It's a little bit more about bringing things into balance, learning, growing, and like I said, evolving. You know, I'm a real student of nature. And to me, it would make more sense that past lives and reincarnation are real if you spend any time in nature, because of the cycles in nature that are constantly turning around us. And we are a part of nature. So that process exists within us as well.
Amazing. Okay, so Michelle is going to do something fun for us. So Michelle is going to lead us through a guided meditation visualization for all of us here. And I'm going to do this as well, to tune into our own past lives. And I'm very, very excited about this, Michelle.
Okay. So I'm excited. I want everybody to kind of take a minute to, you know, find somewhere comfortable to sit, right? If you want to lay down, make sure you can hear me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to guide everybody through a past life memory, and Julie's going to do it too. And then Julie and I, maybe we can talk about what comes up for you after, because I'm going to kind of have you focus on different aspects of the past life. Sometimes it'll be visual. Like I said, sometimes you'll sense it or feel it. So kind of be open. And I'm going to try to guide people through both. Okay. All right. I want you to close your eyes, focus on your breath. Take a deep breath in through your nose, releasing it out your mouth, filling your whole chest cavity. With each breath, you're feeling more and more relaxed, more peaceful, calm. I want you to imagine that you're breathing in a beautiful light. It's a white light, it's sparkling. You can feel this light is infused with a sense of peace. You're bringing this into your body on your breath, letting it fill you. And on each exhale, you're releasing any tension, worry, fear, or stress. Releasing this from your body, replacing it with this light. Now there's another light. I want you to imagine it's moving in through the top of your head, through your crown. Perhaps you can feel a tingling or a warm sensation as it connects to you. And imagine a divine loving presence in this light, incredibly peaceful presence guiding you. You also notice that this light is an infinite strand. There's no beginning, there's no end to this beautiful strand of light. And it is everything that is, everything that has been or will be, will possibly be. And you're a part of this light. I want you to allow this light to move into your body, through the top of your head, your crown, illuminating you within, letting the warm light move down your forehead, down into your cheeks and your jaw, releasing any tension there, letting it spread into your shoulders, down your back, dissolving any tightness or tension it finds, relaxing you. The light moves down each of your arms till it reaches the tips of your fingers. And now the light moves into your chest. You could feel it fill your entire chest cavity. And it infuses all of your organs with light, sending extra healing energy anywhere you feel it might be needed. But especially your heart. I want you to imagine as the light hits your heart, and it spins your heart open. And as it does, it allows you to release all the love that you hold in your heart, your heart center, allowing this to flow out of you. This is a very spiritual love. It's a love for yourself, as well as a love for others. It's actually an energy of a love for all beings. There's no end to the amount of love you can generate and share from this heart center. But I'm keeping your heart open now. The light continues down your stomach. Then it moves past your hips. And then down each leg till it reaches the tips of your toes. Good, and now the light that's filling you is also surrounding you. So if you're in a halo or a bubble of pure light, this bubble protects you. No harm can ever truly come to you. You're an eternal being, here for lessons and experiences. Nothing can ever truly harm you. You're always safe and loved, watched over, protected. But now in this beautiful, illuminated, protected state, I want you to imagine that you're standing at the top of a beautiful staircase. I'm going to count backwards from 10. With each step, with each number down, I'm going to go deeper and deeper within, more and more fully relaxed. Also allowing your mind to move beyond the usual confines, time, perception. 10, moving down the stairs. 9, 8, deeper and deeper. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good. Now in front of you appears a place, your personal sanctuary. It can be from your dreams, your imagination, your childhood. It can be a space you've used before, or a new place that feels right for you today. But I want you to allow your mind to construct a place that's only for you. You can go feel at peace, be alone with your thoughts. This is your own space of healing, It's a place you can connect with your own inner wisdom, your higher self, and find any answers that you're seeking. And I want you to take a moment to sit in this space, your personal sanctuary, to invite any of your guides to come and join you today. Help you heal, understand more about your life, your journey over many lifetimes. Noticing who arrives. Maybe you can see them or sense or feel them. As you sit with your guide, I want you to set an intention for something that you would like to know or understand more about your life today. And then in a moment, we're going to explore a past life that helps illuminate this issue. Maybe it's a struggle, a challenge, something you're curious about, difficult relationship, anything that you might feel is holding you back. Setting this intention with your guide, your spiritual guide. And now in front of you, a door appears. It's a beautiful door. There's a light shining under it. It's beckoning you. This is a door of memories. And the memory taking place on the other side of that door is a memory from a past life, one of the many times that you've lived before in a different body. I'm going to count backwards from three, and then I want you to move through the door, and I want you to join the scene taking place on the other side. That is a past life memory. Three, the door is opening. Two, one, be there. You were through the door. You've joined this scene. That's a past life memory. First thing I want you to do is look down at your feet, and I want you to notice if you seem to be wearing shoes, or if you're not wearing shoes, what do your feet look like? Maybe you can't see your feet, you can sense or feel what the ground is like that you're standing on. Look up your body. What clothing do you seem to be wearing? Does it feel heavy or light? Is it loose or tight? What details do you notice about what you're wearing? What color is it? What clues does your clothing give you about the time period you're in? Or the culture, or your socioeconomic status? And I want you to notice what gender or gender expression you seem to be in this past life. Are you a man or a woman? How old are you? Letting something come to mind, maybe even a number, without judging it. What traits do you have? What color is your skin, your hair? Are you tall or short? And then I want you to look around. I want you to notice what seems to be happening. What place are you in? Are you indoors? Are you outdoors? I want you to see if it can come to you when I ask what part of the world you're in. What country would we call this today? Are you in the city, the town, the countryside? Noticing if any name comes. What comes to mind when I ask what year it is? Does any number come, or about time period, decade, century? And I want you to notice what kind of mood you're in. What emotions do you feel? Are you anxious? Are you happy, relaxed, sad, angry? What are you feeling? Really noticing the emotions that you feel in this moment, this past life memory. And I want you to notice if you seem to be alone, or if anyone's with you, And if you recognize anyone with you, I want you to look into their eyes if you can. Do they remind you of anyone? Maybe from this life? We have many soulmates, many types. And if there's someone in this past life memory with you, noticing if they seem familiar, perhaps you don't know them, I want you to notice how you feel about them. What's happening in this scene? Letting the story come. Happens. What's the significance of this scene? But now we're going to move in time. We're going to move to the last day of that life. It'll be the last day of that past life. Three, moving in time. Two, one, be there. It's the last day of that life. I want you to notice where you are. Are you indoors or outdoors? What's happening? How much time has passed? How old are you now? Are you alone or is anyone there with you? And if someone is there with you, are they someone you recognize? Look into their eyes. Who do they remind you of? What's your relationship with them in that life? I want you to notice what it is that's causing your death. You seem to be in pain. Without feeling pain and remembering it, acknowledging any symptoms in your body. Are you old? Did you die young? What's happening? Noticing how you feel. As you lay there dying, in those last moments of that previous life. And then I'm going to count backwards from three, and then I want you to leave that body. You no longer need it. Three, two, one. You've left that body. I want you to notice if you can see your body. I want you to ask yourself, what was the lesson you learned from living that life that's most important for you to know in your life today? What did you need to know? Why did you see this today? And how does it relate to your intention? Allowing your higher self to guide you, your inner self, part of you that does survive death and remains. You can see now that you don't have a body. Your consciousness survived between lives. Noticing the lesson is of this. And I want you to surround yourself with a beautiful bubble of light, sending you yourself any healing, anything that needs to be released. Anything you're carrying with you from that past life that you've just experienced and remembered. Now I'm going to count up from 10. It's time to return. Knowing we could always return to this space, explore more about our past lives. I'm going to count up from 10. With each number, I'm going to feel more alert, more awake. Remembering everything that you've seen and experienced today. 10, more alert now. 9. 8, background noises maybe coming into focus. 7. 6, wiggling your fingers and toes, bringing your awareness back into your body. 5, 4, 3, when you're ready, slowly opening your eyes, bring your awareness back into the room. 2, one. Wow. Good. Thank you for letting me do that.
Yes, that did not take me where I thought it was going to.
Okay, it never does. And if you don't mind sharing, I would love to hear what you
would say. I'd love to share because it cracks me up so much when we're in the healing space because people so oftentimes who are healers are like, oh my God, you were like a priestess in Egypt and, you know, all of this stuff. So what I saw was myself being a very young boy, maybe like 5 or 6 years old. And I'm not familiar with this part of the world, like a Tibet. It's not somewhere that I've ever felt like I wanted to go. But I could see very, very clearly there's this thin little boy and I was taken from my family. And I was put like in a, I don't know if that's called a monastery or somewhere where you just basically have to meditate all day long. And I don't know if I was sold in order to do this, but I just saw myself leaving the family and that was very important. And I just saw this life of just service and meditation. When you asked us to be older, I saw myself passing from that lifetime. And what was really weird is you had us like in our bodies. And it was so weird to be me inside that other body. But I felt just like myself. Yeah. And I felt that I was, and it's going to make me cry, like I felt like I was an older person at the end of my life that I was passing from natural causes, that I didn't really know the person who was right in front of me. Oh. I really felt like I very much value relationships with people who I can trust in this lifetime. And it's very hard for me to trust, which it is, because that hurt still carries over of that abandonment.
That is incredible. And a lot of that lines up with what I know happens often in that culture, that it's considered an honor to the family to kind of give away a child to that life of service. And just having that isolation and loneliness and not having the, you know, you're a householder in this life, not a monk, right? You have a family and, you know, you're a mom and all of those things. So, that's really beautiful and insightful and probably what drew you to your spiritual practice in the first place as well, right? Having that monastic past life.
Yeah.
But yeah, I find that most people don't remember being these lofty, you know, characters. And that makes sense in history, right? We have these humble existences where we're just trying to experience love and joy and sometimes survive and everything that comes with that. So yeah, it's beautiful.
I got a couple more things while I was in there too. They said that I, of my soul, chose to have a lifetime in almost all of the major religions in order to understand them. But it was all like a student role, like a service role. And they said that the meditation that I learned and the vibration and how to hold that vibration and the study that I did in that one lifetime, even though it was so lonely, that is what I tune into so much in this lifetime, that all that work carried over, and that I'm working with a lot of people across the board in all different seasons of their own lifetimes, some who are just studying, some who are ready to just really emerge. But my guides came forward and they said, you know, Julie, you've really worked hard over all these different versions to get to where you are today. I also saw something else that I just want to report on for everybody real quick. All these people saying that they see Egypt and the pyramids, and I'm not a alien person. We don't talk about this on the show. But they said that there are pyramids on other planets and the pyramids that they keep tuning into are not all here. Like, we were not all Egyptian priestesses.
Right. Right. And I think that describing having had backgrounds, with all religions and all, you know, types, is something that makes a lot of sense for you as far as, you know, using your past life experience to find your life purpose in this one, where, you know, sometimes religion is an important part of someone's spiritual path, but I find that a lot of spirituality is so individual and transcends religion and is more global and about finding the things that we share as a humanity and the commonalities between us, rather than focusing on all the things that divide us, right? And so I think that that's a classic example of you being shown by your guides. Look, you've had these past lives, and look, you know them, and you're living your life purpose and using your past life wisdom to teach others and help others find that path. And I think that that's really beautiful.
I love this episode so much. Michelle, thank you for coming on. Your new book, Who Do You Think You Are? We'll put a link to it below. Where can people learn more about you on your website, on Instagram?
Yeah, so on my website is michellewith2ls-brock.com. And then on Instagram, I'm Past Life Michelle.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you for being here, Michelle, and thank you for being you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Friends, your angels asked me to do a little teaching here at the end of each episode in February about manifestation, because they say that when it comes to you co-creating within your own life, you're missing a step, that 98% of humanity is missing this step. So they want to give it to you. But first, I want to let you know something. I wish I would have called the Angel Reiki School the Angel Reiki Mediumship School, but that name was too long, right? Friends, the Angel Reiki School is not just a place where you learn Reiki energy healing. In fact, it's really not about learning energy healing at all. The Angel Reiki School is the place where you go to develop your gifts in mediumship, being able to bring through angel messages from the angels to other people, to learn Reiki and other energy healing modalities, and to learn how to, if you want, don't have to. A lot of people come through the Angel Reiki School simply to build out their gifts, to understand their gifts, develop their God-given, unique spiritual gifts to the max. But a lot of people also come through the Angel Reiki School to develop a business of their own and to get that certification so that they know what they're doing when they're working with other people. Friends, an entire new class of the Angel Reiki School begins March 1st online. If you are looking to go through the Angel Reiki School, now is the time. Sign up for a discovery call with me. The link is in the show notes below. I'm going to help you get where you want to be as a healer or with your own unique spiritual gifts in the Angel Reiki School. All right, friends, here is the deal. When it comes to manifestation, Spirit is saying right now, they just keep flooding in this message that 98% of humanity looks to manifest, right? Like they want to manifest something. They know that they want to go in a direction. They get that clarity on that direction. They create the vision board. They see it within their mind. They're visioning it within their mind. And then they stop. That's where their efforts stop. And the angels say there is a huge piece to this puzzle that you are missing. So that piece is when you vision, you have this clarity, I want to do X. You get the vision, you create the vision board, whatnot. It doesn't stop there. That's when we activate our intuition even more. Prayer as well. The angels always say prayer and intuition are really the same thing. They're both forms of communication with the other side. And when you activate that intuition, you're asking God, universe, source, what's the next step for me? What's this first step that I need to take in order to work towards this goal that I have for myself, my life, my family, my career, whatever it may be? And as you pray, you hear something back from the other side. And it's just a first step, all right? And when you hear this first step, what a lot of people do is ask the other side for more signs. We ask for like complete clarity, but it really is this first step that, you know, okay, we pray, we hear this back, do this. That first thing that we're supposed to go do is something that we choose to do or not with our own free will. So if you go act on it and you go do that one thing, what happens? As you're in the energy of actually doing what Spirit asked you to do, you get the next piece of the puzzle. But you cannot get that next piece to the puzzle unless you take the first step. You pray, you hear back, go do this. And you're like hemming and hawing, do I do it? Do I not? Do I do it? Do I not? Go do it. Your angels say, go do it. Because when you do it energetically, it opens you up to the next step after that. And when you take action on that next step, it opens you up to the next step after that. This is what I mean when I say that some people are either crawling, walking, or running with God, universe, source. For some people, it takes them 6 months to get up the courage to go do that one thing that they're hearing back in their prayers. Go do this. It takes them 6 months to have the courage to go do that. For some people, it takes an entire year. For some people, it takes 10 years for them to get the courage to go do that one thing. And then we look around, right? And I'm not blaming or shaming anybody. I'm just trying to give you an example so that the angels can communicate with you better. What happens is then we look around when things aren't happening for us and we go, why? God, why? Why isn't it happening for me? Why aren't things coming through for me? Because you are crawling with God. And sometimes we're not even moving. We're not even taking that first step. There are some people who learn, all right, I'm going to go in this direction. I've got this clarity. I want to write a book. Okay, God, universe, source, I've got the vision. I want to write the book. What's my first step? And the angels come in and say, or God, universe comes in as you're praying and says, go read this other book. Go take this class. Go talk to this person you know. Go send this email. Go ask this question. Go research this. And you go to yourself within your own mind. You go, nope, that's not the answer. And so you delay. There are some people who don't do that. There are some people when they get that prayer within their mind, that answer within their mind, they go, all right, I'm going to go do that. I'm going to go read that book. I'm going to go talk to that person. I'm going to go ask that question. I'm going to go send that email. I'm going to go make that phone call. And as soon as they do, they're in a new energy as they're taking the action. And as they're taking the action and they're in this new energy, they get a new piece of information. And they go, okay, God, what do I do now? And God, universe, source goes, go do this. So they go do it. And then they get to that next piece and they go, what do I do now? And they hear back through their prayers, go do this. And so they go do that. Friends, this is where people start running with God, universe, source. So 5 times a day, 10 times a day, 100 times a week, they're following God's directives. They're not hemming and hawing. They're just following the loving, positive messages that they're receiving through their prayers, through their intuition. And so when I look at the energy of a person who goes, Julie, why isn't it happening for me? Versus other people who are running with Spirit, what you're seeing is actually a mathematical number of these are how many directives one person has gotten from God, universe, source that they followed through on. And this other person over here has followed through on 5,000 within 1 year, whereas another person is waiting to take action on one. And again, friends, I'm not blaming, shaming, trying to create a negative energy within you at all. I'm trying to show you what happens when you're living a spiritual life and running with Spirit. So I know this is a long enough intro. Listen to it a couple of times. I'm only going to leave it up in February. And I want you to pause right now and I want you to tune in and I want you to pray. And I want you to say, God, universe, source, what's my goal Where am I going? And once you have clarity on that, ask, what's the first thing I need to take action on? What's the first thing I need to do? Go do that, friends. That is going to help you run with your angels. And it is going to take you to living a life far beyond your wildest dreams. You're going to be shocked. And I want you to write into me and I want you to let me know when you start to see a difference in your life because you're following this method. I love you so much, friends. Have a beautiful, beautiful, blessed day. And I'll see you back here this week. Love you.